Thank you, guys. You can have a seat. It's good to be with you tonight. Thank all you guys for leading us tonight. They'll be back for some more. They're not letting me do this as long as I normally do, so don't worry. You'll still get to go set the cookies out and all that kind of stuff. It'll work out. Thank you. I want to say thank you on behalf of my family, just all of those of you that have reached out to us over the last week and just let us know you're praying for us or whatever. Thank you so much. We have little Aniston Joy with us now. She is 9 days old today, and she is awesome. And I'll just tell you, she's the most beautiful baby that has ever lived on the planet Earth, okay? And it's funny as a parent how you feel that way about every baby until the next one comes. Like Gracie, I'm sorry, baby, but you were the prettiest baby 5 babies ago, okay? You know, so, you know, but I mean, it just, I don't know. It's like God just wants to keep showing out, you know. He's like, I'm still God. I can do whatever I want to do, you know. You thought that one was pretty. Here's another one, you know. No, thank you. We really appreciate it. We're excited. This is an exciting time in our lives. This is an exciting time in the life of 24 Church. I'm not going to get in it tonight because I'm not going to get into all that tonight because I don't want to make tonight about anything other than Jesus. But this is His church and it is His bride. And I just want you to, I want to ask you if you would, if you don't go to 24, you don't come to 24, if this isn't your church, which if you wouldn't mind, be praying for us. Be praying for what is in front of us. God is leading us currently to do some amazing things in the next couple years, the next few months. We're going to be talking about all that stuff in the next several weeks, and very exciting. This is the end of our 10th year. Can you believe that? That is amazing. That is a God thing, what He's done, the fact that we're in here together. And I was actually over there thinking about that and just thanking God for that and what He's done. This is not a normal thing. This is a God thing. And I'm thankful for that. And I'm thankful that it can't be explained in other ways of like, well, you guys had, you know, a lot of money and you did this with the money or whatever. Whatever, anything like that. It's always been like God at work. And that's so cool. Anyway, be praying for us. For those of you that are part of 24, but you be praying. You be praying for what's coming up for all of us because it's exciting. I'm excited about it. I want to take just a minute and I want to share. I want to share a passage with you. Just one verse. If you can believe it, I'm only sharing one verse tonight, okay? This will be a shocker to many of you. But this verse is out of the book of John, and I purposely talked even with Nathan this week for just a few minutes, and I told him, I said, you know, I don't really want to do the same. You know, a lot of Christmas Eve services, we come and usually read Luke 2, and here's why I'm not going to read Luke 2 tonight. I want to challenge you that when you go home tonight, whether you're by yourself or with your family, if you've got children, if you've got grandchildren, whoever you've got, you get together before bed and you read Luke 2 together. You read Luke 2 and you pray over what God has done. And don't worry, we're still good. The focus is still the same here. But I wanted to share one verse out of the book of John. One verse, John chapter 1, verse 14. It says this. We'll have it on the screen for you so you don't have to pull anything out. John 1, 14. And it says, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we have seen His glory. Glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth." The Word became flesh. Now, if you go back and you read the very first verse of the book of John, just earlier in that chapter, you have this passage that says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made." And it goes on and on. And it's talking about Jesus. Jesus came, the Word. He is the Word, and He is God. And it says, "And the Word became flesh." And you know, I think we're so used to seeing, whether it's nativity scenes or whatever it may be, we're so used to seeing that kind of stuff that I think that we forget like how huge it is that God Himself came to be a human. He came to live and breathe in a human body as a baby. And I got to be around a whole lot of babies last week. And you know, it's one of those things. It's like, as amazing as a baby is, that to imagine that God himself would come as a baby, grow up to become a man, to have a ministry that would last a short amount of time, but in that time, completely change the world. I mean, this is a huge deal. This is Jesus himself showing humility. I mean, you think about it. I mean, you think about Jesus. You think about, I mean, he is God. He can do anything he wants to. Think about how many times he would have just liked to have cheated, you know? I mean, like, we think that it's bad, like, living up here, that when we go to Nashville, that we have to deal with that split going into Trinity Lane, you know? And we're sitting there. I know you're thinking what I'm thinking. I'm thinking, I think I can get on Briley and run through town and go the other way and, you know, do this. And, you know, we want a better way, right? And we're like every time, I don't know if you're like me, there's one place down there when I'm like going up 65 from this way that, like, every time I hit that, I'm calling TDOT tomorrow. I mean, I don't know if anybody else in the room has thought this or not, but, you know, I mean, we want a better way. We want to cheat the system. And Jesus, the only times that we ever see him cheat the system are never out of, like, you know, stomping around and like, I don't have time for this and I need to get the show on the road and I need to, you know, all the traffic move out of my way, use the force and it all goes, you know, whatever. You know, we never see Jesus do that. The only time we see Jesus, quote unquote, maybe what we would might consider cheat is when he wants to glorify the Father. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we have seen his glory. Glory as of the only Son from the Father. And you think about that. You think about Moses. Think about these other folks throughout Scripture that said, God, I want to see your glory. God would refuse them. Or in Moses' case, he got to experience his glory, but was not allowed to look straight at it. And as John writes this, he writes, we have seen his glory. Glory as of the only Son from the Father. And so here we have the plan. You like a plan? I like a plan. You know, contrary to popular belief, I do. I know Keith Whitfield is a good friend of ours. I don't know if he's hanging around tonight or not, but you know, he when he was on staff with us, you know, one of the things that he used to comment about all the time was like how, you know, we were kind of like gunslingers. We like to, like, you know, play it by ear and, like, you know, whatever's coming, we'll just figure it out as it goes. And, you know, but in general, I like the plan. And, you know, God has a plan, and he has had a plan all along. I don't know if you realize this or not. You see, I think a lot of people, when they read the story of God, which is, by the way, the Bible, if you didn't know, you know, front to back, this is one continuous story that is happening that tells the plan and the story of God. And in the midst of this thing, if we're not careful, we'll think, you know, well, you know, that crazy Adam and Eve, you know, if only they hadn't done this or that. Listen, if Adam and Eve hadn't done it, if you were the ones to be right behind them, you would have done it, or I would have done it. I mean, the truth is that. It was inevitably going to happen. God knew what was going to happen. He's God. And from day one, he had a plan. Not a plan B, not a plan C, not if these folks that I put in the garden, if they don't work out and they're not, you know, tilling the soil good enough and taking care of the trees and, you know, if they're not, you know, putting down the mulch just right. You know, no. God had one plan the entire time, and the one plan's name was Jesus. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. You see, when Jesus came, it wasn't just a baby. It was our Savior. He came full of grace and truth. Now, you and I, we love grace, don't we? We love grace. I had a conversation with somebody this week talking about something that kind of offended them that somebody did. And I just reminded them. I said, man, that guy over there, he loves Jesus. He probably didn't mean to offend you. Just remember that you need grace and he needs grace and we all need grace. And we got to show each other grace instead of, you know, getting ready to put each other on trial right away. Like, let's go back and let's remember what Jesus has led us to do, taught us to do. And you know, and we love grace. We want to receive grace, right? Now, we're not so good at giving it sometimes. But we love to receive it. Jesus came full of grace, but he also came full of truth. And you see, the deal with truth is that truth actually, it commands something. I mean, if there is a truth, then it means that there are lies in this world. And so when Jesus came, not just full of grace, but full of truth, that meant that inevitably he was going to offend. He was going to make people mad. There were people that were not going to believe. Jesus came on a lowly night. And the scriptures teach that the inn was full. And he goes and he's born in a way that none of us would want our babies born. And the blessing of it all is, unlike the king that so many thought people, these people thought were going to, was going to come, this king that would be, you know, masked in robes and jewels and all these things, we have one that comes in humility, with grace and truth. One of the conversations that I have time and time again with people is this. It's like, you know, Chris, what do you, you know, why won't God interfere with the world right now? What, I mean, look at our world. I mean, it's so messed up. I mean, I don't know about you guys, but it's so hard to even watch the news now. I mean, it is like every day something else. And it's like, oh my gosh. That too, and it just escalates, and it escalates, and it is what it is to where we are today. And it's a world full of sin, and sin has consequences, and sin destroys. And we see what it's done, and we see what it's doing, and we're experiencing it in our own lives. And I have people, I have this conversation, and even in my own life, I find myself asking God sometimes, God, why don't you intervene? Do something. Change it. And here's the truth. He has. He did. He did intervene. He sent Jesus. Jesus has intervened. He is the intervention that the entire world needs, but that so much of it wants to ignore. That's the truth. Let me share something with you if you're here tonight. If you've never trusted in Jesus to intervene in your life, to forgive you of your sin, and you may have not even known that you needed forgiveness of sin, but I'm here to tell you, Jesus came to make up the difference from where we're not ever going to be good enough. He is good enough. And he, on a cross, years later after being born in the manger, took our death, that if we would believe in him and trust in him to be our Savior, that on a night like tonight, that we could worship him and praise him and thank him for who he is and do so in freedom, knowing that we are no longer chained to those sins in our lives, but that we would be free. And not just free here, but free in eternity. Because Jesus defeated death. Death couldn't hold him. And the great part about that is that was our death. That was supposed to be our death. For those of us that have believed in Christ, that was our death that was put on the cross. Because they couldn't take Jesus' death, so he took our death, that if we would believe and trust in him, that he could be our Savior. And I'm here to tell you tonight, God loves you, and I don't care what kind of stuff has ever happened in your past, in your life, God wants to save you. He loves you, and he wants you to run to him. Run to him and be a part of the family. I don't know if you knew this or not, but this is a family. When we talk about the church at 24, we don't talk about a building. We have to talk about buildings sometimes. We'll be doing some of that here pretty soon. But at the end of the day, when we talk about the church, we are always talking about the family, the people of God. That's the church. And you may have not realized it or not, but God created us needing community with one another. He created us needing this. He created us needing one another, that we would be a part of His bride, the church. We'd love for you to be a part of this body, if God might lead you to be. If God's working on your heart tonight and making you begin to think, you know, maybe I need to trust in Jesus. Maybe I need forgiveness of my sin. I just want you to know something. That can happen for you tonight. God save you right where you are. And we make it harder than it is. And the truth is that's something between you and the Lord. If you're at a place in your life right now where you know that you need to follow Him and quit following, you know, the stuff that you've been coming up with, those plans that maybe you've come up with. If you're like me, I'm so great at coming up with plans, and then somewhere down the road going, I don't think that was God's plan. I think that was my plan. God wants you. He sent His Son to die for you. He wants to redeem you. He wants to free you from death and free you from sin. And all you got to do is believe in Him and just tell Him. It's a heart thing. It's not a going through the motions thing. It's a heart thing. So check your heart. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen His glory. Glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. If you want to talk with somebody tonight about what it means to know Christ, we'd love to do that after the service is over with. We'll hang out as long as we need to. Praying that God speaks to your heart. I'm excited that we get to continue to celebrate who this baby really is. That it's not just the birth of a child, as exciting as that is. It's much, much more. It was the coming of our Savior. Let's pray together.